All right, you wanted him back. We got him. Adam Lambert is joining us on the phone right now. Hello there.
Good morning.
Okay, so the first question, a little over a year since you came runner-up on American Idol, what has been the most amazing thing? I mean, you formed a band. What's the most amazing thing that's happened so far?
What's the most amazing thing? I mean, it's all pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, no.
I think that just right now, I mean, getting to conceptualize my first headlining tour is like a dream come true. I definitely think that my album is really strong and I love all the music on it. And getting to put it on stage is really kind of what I'm best at. You know, coming from the theater originally and doing a lot of live performances in Los Angeles, translating this material and making it come alive on stage and giving it an emotional through line and a visual through line is really exciting.
So this is your first tour as a new artist, and I've got to ask, you had that infamous AMA's performance, which kind of scared a lot of people from the type of artist that you're going to be coming. So the people that were up in arms, the people that just thought that you were way too outrageous on that show, should they stay away from this tour? Like, what would you suggest?
I definitely think they'll be comfortable. That was kind of an artistic experiment, the AMA's, and I learned a lot from it. I learned kind of what my limitations are, I learned what my audience wants to see, and there's definitely, the concert definitely is sexy, but I feel like if anybody felt that was not tasteful, this is tasteful.
And now what's really interesting, and I want your take on this, what's really interesting is that people talk about this idol curse thing, that if you win the show, you're not going to do very well, and the second place, the runner-up is going to do a hell of a lot better. Now, in your situation, I mean, Chris Allen is, he's opening, he's the opening act for a lot of performances. You've got a headlining tour. That's got to feel pretty sweet. But secondly, is that, did the vote, did people get it wrong? Like, what do you think happened?
I don't think anybody's wrong. I think American Idol happened a year ago for both Chris and I, and we're finding what works best for us.
On the tour, and of course on your album, you're performing a lot of songs that you've written, you've had a hand in creating, and that's something that I always wonder about, is when you've written it yourself, when you've had a big hand in its production, is it easier for you to perform? Do you relate to it more than having somebody like, let's say, Cara DioGuardi write a song for you, and then you perform it, and it's her song, never really yours?
I think usually when I write music, I write from personal experiences, so there's definitely, it's definitely a little more familiar to me, whatever emotion I was writing about. But I will also say that all the songs that were chosen for the album were ones that I felt like I could relate to. So if I couldn't feel like I could emote them, I didn't want to put them on the album. So I think I can emote all of them. But obviously the ones that I write are the ones that come from a personal experience.
And you've got a pretty crazy tour schedule coming up. It's almost like 4 months straight of touring 50 or 70 cities. I mean, who lost count already, right? What do you plan to do on your downtime? First of all, do you get downtime? And secondly, what are you going to be doing? When we were in Vancouver for the American Idol concert, I remember saying to you, hey, let's go turn some heads at the bar, right? People would just, their jaws would drop. So what are you going to be doing on this tour?
If I really wanted to, I could go out. I think I predict that I'm going to be a little bit, a little too worked. You know, I'm going to be a little tired to go out and hit the bars. I'm doing about 70 shows in 3 months, and it's going to be really important for me to take care of myself and rest when I'm not on stage in order to give the audiences in each city the best that I can give them. But who knows, if I have a day off and I'm feeling great, you never know.
And so really you are touring the world. I mean, what have you learned about audiences in different regions? Is there, I don't know, I mean, you've got fans everywhere, so that's got to be crazy.
You know, there's definitely cultural differences, but one of the things that I've kind of been so fascinated with is that no matter where I've gone, there have been fans there that knew the music. And I think that it's a testament to the universal power of music. I think that music is the universal language, and I think that the fans feel the intention of the music, feel the emotion that's trying to be conveyed, and they all react that way to it. There's definitely cultural differences. You know, in Japan, audiences aren't as vocal and as loud until you're finished singing. The minute you finish the song, they're really excited, but during, they're just very calm and still, versus American audiences that love to, like, dance around during the song. So It's interesting, but yeah, there's definitely a universal joy there.
And almost anywhere you go now, and I know because I've seen a lot of these pictures, is that people are dressed like you. They're telling me we've got to go. I'm already in the question, so let's just ask it. My show, my rules, all right? You've got a lot of people that are dressed up. There's like, you know, the Glamberts, the T-Bird. How does that make you feel? It's almost like this Kiss phenomenon before where people would, you know, dress up and have makeup. How does that make you feel?
It's surreal. There are times when I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it's always flattering. And sometimes even a little strange. You know, I'm just doing the same thing that I've always done, just on a grander scale. So sometimes it's hard to believe, and I have to kind of pinch myself, and I'm like, I can't believe this. This is insane. Who would have imagined, you know, 2 years ago that this would be my life? But I'm very thankful to the universe for this opportunity and for all the people that are liking what I'm doing.
Got to get back to music. Send your questions for Adam, JB at JBOnAir.com. More with Adam Lambert right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Jeremy Bradley here, top of the charts, getting giggly with Adam Lambert. All right, so your questions that have been sent in over the last little bit. Now, the American Idol finale was in May, and a lot of people were expecting a big Adam Lambert performance. It never happened. Rumors going around that they didn't ask you, you know, you weren't invited. What happened? Set the record straight.
Yeah, I wasn't invited. You know, there was I think there was like a miscommunication that happened. There was a group number, a tribute to Simon that apparently I found out after the fact came together very, very last minute. They asked all the previous winners to perform in that, so I wasn't asked to do that. And then all the other people that were dressed in white, the previous contestants from years past, those were all the people that were attending that night. So it was kind of a last minute thing. I didn't realize there was going to be a performance. Or else I might have rethought my attendance. They invited me to sit in the audience and watch, and unfortunately I was so busy with rehearsals for the tour that I was like, you know what, I need to work. So, it was just a little bit of a miscommunication, but there was no drama or hard feelings or any, you know, I think that there was a tabloid article that was run that was like, oh, he didn't show up, but I'm like, I didn't show up to rehearsal, what are you talking about? I wasn't invited. So, I don't know, it was a big old to-do for nothing.
I just have to say, it's just as well for the Idol finale, because I can't picture you wearing white on the Idol stage.
I did during the finale, so...
Oh, yeah. So, now tell me about how your style or sound has evolved since your time on Idol. We've talked about the AMA the infamous AMA thing, and that caused some people to be concerned about the type of performer you'll be. Would you say you've toned down your style? I mean, you called that an experiment, so what have you learned since then?
You know, I think for me, it's like, every week on Idol, I was doing something different. I was singing, you know, a different song, dressed differently, expressing a different emotion or vibe. And I thought it was funny that people got so nervous about what kind of performer I would be based on the AMAs. I'm like, this is one performance. You know, if you guys know anything about me at this point, it's that I change it up all the time. You know, and then coming out with What Do You Want From Me and all my subsequent performances of that was a great way to show that I'm more than one type of artist. You know, I think I have a lot of different sides, and I like to show all of them. So that AMA performance was me expressing my sexuality, and that scares a lot of people, but I think that it's healthy. And the What Do You Want From Me song and performances were me expressing vulnerability and honesty. And this new single, If I Had You, is about joy and connection. And so there's every song on the album has a different emotion, and my performances will reflect that emotion.
Let's talk about that sexuality for a second. I mean, you knew it was bound to come up. You made headlines when you came out, and you are the first openly gay artist on the label. What did you think of that?
You know, there's definitely, it comes with some pressure. You know, there's a lot of challenges that I've faced, I think, you know, just being one of the first and, you know, dealing with the business side of it, you know, because I think they're also learning. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure, but it's also really exciting. It's exciting to be like a novelty in that regard.
And coming out when you did, I mean, was that planned? Did you find it to be necessary to go from the American Idol Adam Lambert that we know to then the one that is the artist that we're going to be seeing in the following years?
Definitely, because for me, my career I wanted it to be an open book. You know, I've always, you know, as an audience member, as somebody that's lived in Los Angeles for the last 8 years and watched celebrity culture, I always rolled my eyes at people that were, you know, keeping a lot of secrets and kind of trying to put forth an image that was manufactured. And for me, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be who I'm going to be because it'll be a hell of a lot easier. And I knew that people would know about my sexual preference and my history being in Los Angeles as, you know, a performance artist and somebody that had been out and about. So I figured, you know what, there's no point in keeping a secret. Might as well own it. I'm proud of it. And, you know, if the audience doesn't like my sexuality, then they can find some other artist to look at. It's not a big deal.
Good way to look at it. We're out of time again. We're going to get one more segment in with Adam Lambert. So back to the music. Send your questions, jb@jbonair.com. More with Adam Lambert right after this.
Top of the charts with Jeremy Bradley.
I know we never get to do that. Jeremy Bradley here, top of the charts, chatting with Adam Lambert. And it's always, that's one of the downsides of having Adam on the show, is that we never run on time. Thank you very much for that, Adam. All right, so your questions are coming in. And I've got one here from Susan. She wants to know if you've had any reflection. What have you learned about yourself since your time on Idol, since putting together an album, since starting your tour? What have you reflected on? What's been the highlight for you?
That's a good question. It's deep and it's good. I don't know. I think that... Ultimately, I think that just trusting my instincts has been kind of the biggest challenge and test since coming off of Idol. You know, it's a business, this music industry, and there's a lot of amazing, talented, very experienced people working in it, and they have their opinions, and I have mine, and coming to compromises and figuring out what the best plan of action is definitely something that I'm learning a lot about.
And you've also had to learn how to deal with fans. I mean, this day and age with MySpace and Facebook and Twitter, I mean, people are reaching out all the time. And, of course, celebrities embrace that because it helps get their message across, helps promote what they're doing. Others have, you know, people that text for them and they don't actually do it themselves. So what do you think of things like Twitter? I mean, people are getting unprecedented access now to stars more than ever before.
I definitely listen and take note of what the general consensus is. I think, for example, Twitter is like an amazing medium for me to communicate with my fans. You know, in the old days, you had to rely solely on your publicist and your marketing team and whatnot. And what's so great about Twitter is it really allows you to directly express yourself. So I think that there's an element of honesty that comes in. And, you know, if there's like a rumor floating around, I can shoot it down immediately. I can address it directly. You don't have to hear it through all these different channels, and the game of telephone doesn't really end up happening. It's direct.
And one thing that you have reached out on Twitter about, and you were direct about it, is not to bring you gifts. Fans I tend to show up at concerts, you know, flowers or teddy bears or whatever, and you've given them some very specific advice.
Honestly, that's what happens. It's so funny. It's, you know, like, it's so sweet, and I love that my fans want to express themselves and give me something. But for me, it's far more meaningful to just have them there, to see smiling faces, to shake hands, to sign autographs, to know that what I do on stage is something that's moving them and affecting them. That's what this is about. This isn't about presents. And so, as much as I love the thought, I feel like, you know what, I don't have enough room for them. I don't want you guys to spend your money on making things for me. I want you to spend your money on your ticket, coming and enjoying yourself. And if they feel the need to express themselves financially and show their appreciation, then I want them to donate to a charity. There's a charity called DonorsChoose.org that I've been supporting for the past about year and a half now, and it's still a great cause, and it's still alive and kicking, and I would just rather them redirect their financial energy that way if they feel the need to.
Joanne writes, on the heels of your very successful first album, have you started working on your second? Are you planning? What's going on with that?
Not really. No, not yet. I think it's a little ways off. I think that I'll probably, in the new year, after like January, I'll probably get to start working on it. And I'll probably start then. So at this point, my focus is really on continuing to put out singles from my current album and this tour, which I'm so excited about.
You started out doing musical theater, and Broadway seems to be very trendy, very hip these days. I was just in New York, and there's Broadway, you know, the theaters are everywhere. Do you ever see yourself making the transition from concert stage to then theater stage?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that would be really exciting in the future. I don't have any immediate plans, but I definitely see the trend on Broadway, and things are becoming more and more contemporary, which I love. And, yeah, who knows what the future holds.
Almost out of time, the last question is going to Emily. She wants to know what you hope concertgoers take away from seeing your show.
There's definitely a really strong message of love. I mean, as cliche as that sounds, it's very true. I think that they're, you know, my fans have been incredibly supportive of me, and this show is really built for them. And I think that it's really, it really talks about the exchange, and I feel like from the top of the show, I'm inviting the audience to take a journey with me into this kind of this emotional and thematic world. And the basic through line of the show is, in the beginning, it's more about seduction and venturing into the unknown and taking chances and mystery and intrigue and sexiness. And then the midpoint of the show really explores heartbreak and vulnerability and honesty, and then the latter half of the show is celebration and joy and love and connection.
Adam Lambert, thank you so much. We're out of time. Go to adamofficial.com for all the tour news, and thank you so much for joining us today. Back to the music on Top of the Charts.
Top of the Charts.